Okay, well, thank you. Sorry, I'm a little late for the session. I got in about 1 this morning. I've been in Washington, D.C. for the Biomass 2014 conference, which was it's hosted by the Department of Energy. And I went with a stack of business cards that thick, and I've got 3 left. So it was a great networking event and a good experience for OBIC. I want to give you an update on OBIC. We were created back in 2005 as the Ohio Bioproducts Innovation Center, linking Ohio's agriculture to Ohio's chemical and polymer industry. And in 2012, November of 2012, we actually launched a new vision where we were kind of at this crossroads. Are we Ohio-centric or are we bioproduct-centric? And the companies we were working with, you know, say we sell stuff all around the world, you know, the idea of you being just Ohio is you know, really limiting, and so we launched what we call OBIC 2.0. And we actually changed our name to OBIC, and we're now OBIC, a Bioproduct Innovation Center at Ohio State University. And, you know, the background and the reason why OBIC makes sense and why it was created in the first place is that Ohio ranks number 1 in the nation in polymer employment. And as that industry seeks to innovate, they're increasingly looking for bio-based resources. You know, I like to say that I value oil more than the oil industry does. You know, what is oil? It's biomass that's been preserved for 1 million years. Let's keep it that way. You know, let's use biomass whenever we can, whenever it's suitable for a product, let's use it first and save the oil for what might be even more important down the road. But in addition to being number 1 in polymer employment overall, we're number 1 in paints and coatings, we're number 1 in adhesives, number 1 in rubber, and number 1 in soaps and detergents. We're like number 3 or 4, depending on how you count it, in plastics. And so I mentioned we did this OBIC 2.0 thing, you know, again, emphasizing the bioproduct industry and really drawing from our experiences since 2005 to run this new national and international campaign. Our mission is to expedite bioproduct commercialization. We know there's a lot of great things going on out there, and we just want to try and participate in that to see if we can help things happen faster. Our process is what we call cell to cell, CELL being a biological term and SELL being a marketing term. And this really articulates sort of like the approach we use. We link up all of these different members in a supply chain to de-risk and to expedite a product actually making it to market. Another thing we talk about when we describe who we are and what we do is we articulate ourselves as a cluster development agent. And we say and have been reasonably successful with getting some public resources because of the common good or the public benefits associated with these projects. There's also a private sector involvement or value, and so we understand that. And so this just kind of articulates sort of like the 5 steps along the way, not that they ever flow through in just this way, that's a part of creating these kinds of clusters. And, you know, it starts off, you know, as quite a bit of effort on our part at the center to get all these people to kind of know each other and figure out who the right people ought to be. And so, you know, during this nascent stage, you know, we're just trying to figure out, well, who's the right people to line up? And then, you know, as you go along, you start to get these supply chains and these business deals worked through, and you can start to see projects to the point that, you know, in the end, there's really very little role for a place like OBIC, but there is a lot of public gain because now we've got a lot of commercial activity. These are the kinds of stakeholders we work with. You know, everybody from the agricultural community, you know, largely the groups above the in the top half here, agriculture through retail or private sector. Generally, the bottom half are public sector, And each one of these are interested in lots and lots of things. Our interest is in bioproducts, and so we help connect the people that are in those spaces that want to be involved in that. Also should mention, and I have a slide here in a little bit, I'll talk a little bit more about our education, but we are aligned with the USDA AFRI Coordinated Ag Program with our education initiative. Cornell is the lead institution, and OBIC is a part of that. And our training is next week, actually, in Indianapolis, where we have 21 teachers signed up from all around the country, including California, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, I think some other states as well. And we're real excited. That's always an important time for us to work with teachers and to help really them understand what we refer to as the bio-based promise. This is a sort of a historical description of our cluster activity. These are the various projects, clusters that we've had. It's a little out of date right now, but you can see that we've done a lot of work with composites, with resins. We've got two ongoing projects relative to food innovation. We have some interesting processing technologies that certainly work in food and may work in other spaces as well. Catalysis work, we've already mentioned the education. We got a project with pyrolysis. Probably the anaerobic digestion has been our most successful space. We put about $500,000 of our original $11.5 million fund into a company that's now worth over $100 million or has over $100 million in assets and approaching 15 large-scale digesters. We worked with the Andersons on advanced granule technology, and that might be one of a technology of particular interest to this group because it basically gives you the performance of a liquid in a granule application of whether it be a pesticide or nutrients. And the Andersons has a specialty turf division, and this product has been very successful with the golf industry, golf greens and tees especially. We have quite a few things going on right now in algae as a source of biomass, and we had a special project or an interesting project that was financed by the governor of the state of Ohio to really do an integrated biorefinery assessment and to identify sort of like priority opportunities there. That gave us some pretty good insights into what's going on in the industry. And then we had another project where we did work for Northwest Ohio and continue to do work in this kind of space. And then the alternative elastomers is our natural rubber program. Maybe you know Katrina Cornish, one of our scholars in this space. We've been doing work with Waiuli and then Russian dandelion, or what we now call Buckeye Gold. This is some of the pilot scale digesters. This is with Quasar Energy Group. This is actually located at the OARDC research facility. Not only do we have these kind of what I call R2-D2 guys for digesters, but in the laboratory or in this heated room, all kinds of test tubes and flasks filled with material that we're testing just to measure the methane generating potential of different biomass sources. This is our program of excellence in natural rubber alternatives, an articulation of our natural rubber pilot plant. Roots go in and box rubber goes out. And I love this picture because it shows, you know, all the steps along the way. You get a sense for the process. But this picture is even better because there it is. It's about a $3 million facility to facilitate that. And we've used this equipment not only for natural rubber, but for other plants as well. We first used it for chicory to kind of begin to look at some of the materials that we could pull out from some different types of plant material. But it's a very exciting facility and something we're very proud of. I specifically blurred this picture because the people that I work with where it was uncomfortable with me showing it. But this is our natural fiber composite facility. We can blend plant fibers with resin and produce a pellet that then can be sold to a plastic company. We've made fence material from this. Another client was using it for fence or mail posts and rails to hold mailboxes. And there's just all kinds of opportunities for this. The benefit of the natural fiber is that it's comparable in performance to fiberglass, but it's a lot lighter in weight, it's cheaper, less energy requirements. Obviously, the energy requirements, if it's for transportation's sake, you've got lower costs or lower energy for transportation. So people like Ford Motor Company and others have been looking at it as a source of material for in automotive or transportation. Beagle is one of our companies that is doing work with algae. In this case, what's interesting about this group is that where we have a harmful algal bloom, they can go in and actually collect the material that's like floating on the surface and extract out some really valuable chemicals in that space. And we purchased a centrifuge for them and actually, as a result, have some equity in this company. But they last often, would they go out to a pond? We have probably one of the most celebrated harmful algal blooms in our state is Grand Lake St. Mary's. And it's interesting that the municipality along that lake still uses that as a source of drinking water. And so obviously they have to take this algae off of the lake or out of the water. And so when they're in the process of taking that out, Beagle's just sitting right there, we'll take it and use it for material. I'm going to jump back here real quick just with one little statistic. To date, OBIC has assisted our clients with over $117 million worth of extramural funding support to kind of help drive these projects. And when you understand how that then gets utilized in the match, it's generated, and we probably don't have the best metrics to really be able to say, but it's clearly in excess of $400 million worth of value. So why do we do this? We believe in the bio-based promise that bio-based innovations offer consumers intelligent, sustainable choices because they use renewable materials derived from plants. We've worked with a marketing firm to kind of help articulate this value of bio-based, and we've also done now 2 years of market studies to understand consumers' knowledge of what bioproducts are. They don't know what bioproducts are, and so we've got 2 years of baseline data, and hopefully at some point we'll see that change and we'll be able to talk about it. One of the ways that we're changing people's perceptions is what we call the OBIC Sustainable World Tour. And we have this van that has been, artistically wrapped. It's got corn on the back and soy on the front, and the wording, discover bio-based resources, renewable, innovative, intelligent. And there's a whole website and a Facebook page and blog, and you can follow the Sustainable World Tour online. The gentleman that's pictured here is Dustin Holman. He former state FFA president. He is running this for us, and he's been called to go work in Africa, and so he just left us like about a week ago. And he was scheduled to leave yesterday for Liberia, where the Ebola is, and where they've closed schools, and so I don't know what Dustin's doing right now. I feel bad because we love Dustin and we wish he had not left, but now he's really kind of caught. So, but that's an interesting story. So a part of OBIC 2.0 is that, okay, if we're bioproduct industry-centric, we're going to need the bioproduct industry to kind of help drive this. And so we launched a bioproduct network, an OBIC bioproduct network, and these are the companies that are, to date, have joined our network. And we got some great names like Goodyear and Nike, and Pilata Ford donated the van, PepsiCo, Sherwin-Williams, Ashland. When you see a John Deere combine or a John Deere tractor, the green resin that you see on the plastic panels is actually Ashland's Inverez, which is made out of corn, ethanol, and soybean oil. Emory Oleochemicals is a big tallow processing plant. We have a big conference coming up in October, and they're going to bring a tallow-based car to our show, much like Henry Ford did, you know, years ago with his soybean car. Scotts Miracle-Gro, of course, they have an awful lot of bio-based material in their growing media. So we've got some big names, and then we've got a lot of small entrepreneurial types. A group. I don't know if you're familiar with Team Gemini, but they're an Orlando-based company, and they're putting in a $400 million facility at the landfill in Central Ohio, and it's got a $100 million separation facility, and then a whole bunch of bio-based technologies on top of that. I say that in the future, and like by 2016, 2017, Central Ohio will be one of the most sustainable communities in North America, because they're taking this biomass portion, running it through five huge anaerobic digesters, producing enough power for 12,000 homes. In addition, there's the steam heat that's a byproduct of that that will help to power or heat or cool 40 acres of industrial greenhouses, where we're going to have aquaculture, aquaponics, and hydroponic tomatoes. There's also this effluent coming out of the digester, which is a growing media that then will also get utilized. And there's going to be all kinds of other things just added on to this. There's so much steam heat, it's actually becoming a place where lots of other companies that could use that steam are locating. And there's over 1,000 acres of land for commercial development. So we're really excited about that project. And all of this stuff, energy and food and jobs created out of what was once garbage. So kind of cool. This is our board of advisors. Charlie Carr with the Andersons. I mentioned Ashland. BioBent's another startup company that's producing a soy-based composite material. Tom Fontana from the Ohio Soybean Council, Bruce McFerrin, our dean and vice president for ag administration, Emory Oleochemicals, I talked about Poly One, the world's largest supplier of plastic components or ingredients for the plastics industry, PepsiCo. Interesting story about PepsiCo is that Sri is a plastics engineer, a packaging engineer. And, you know, you think of the Sun Chips, and you think of, like, Coca-Cola's Dasani plant bottle, and you can imagine why PepsiCo would be interested in this space. But the reason I think that they joined is because they're looking for new uses of their waste streams. So Tropicana has lots of orange peels, and we have Quaker Oats has lots of oat hulls, and they have coconut, and all of these different materials looking for new uses. Sherwin-Williams has a line of bio-based paint. I mentioned Team Gemini, Doug Hahn. An interesting part about Doug is that where the landfill is located, that land was previously owned by his grandparents. And so it's like he's coming back around, you know, to kind of help them make this landfill eventually go away, because in time they actually aspire to mine the landfill. And then Kate Lewis, who actually now is with the USDA Forest Service, but continues to provide support to BioPreferred as well. So I mentioned we have a conference coming up in October. We'd love to have any of you that are interested in bio-based products join us for that. A whole area devoted to feedstocks. And then linking those kinds of feedstocks to different manufacturers and to, whether they be conventional product manufacturers looking for bio-based or existing bio-based product manufacturers looking to increase bio-based content. We're working very hard on making this a transactional, a business type of conference. It's not an academic conference. We're not there to learn. We're there really to showcase and sell and to move product. And to get more people aware of what's going on in the bioproducts industry. I'm going to end now. So there's my email address. I do want to mention that we are we have sort of like our OBIC bioproduct industry network. We are also very interested in a series of relationships with the academic community as well. So if this is a space that you have interest in, I'd really like to, get your business card. I'd give you one of mine, but I don't have any more. Explore, a relationship, because we're aware of some pretty, big activities that's coming up down the road, and we want to know what your capabilities and your expertise is, so that most of our technologies, most of the work we do comes to us from industry. And then we're looking to kind of solve technical problems and fill gaps by reaching out to the academic community. It's rare for us, it's less likely that our technology would have started at Ohio State University or at a university and then we'd commercialize. It's more likely it's coming from industry and we're helping to fill gaps. So
do you have internships as well?
Good question. We have probably about 25 to 30 students that during the year will work for us at OBIC, and whenever we can, we help place them, like for a summer internship. We have someone right now at the Ohio Department of Transportation. We've got someone at AGCO right now. And so, that depends on the nature of the student and what they're looking for. But
I suppose they could be involved in some technical issues. They could be involved in IP development. They could be involved in any sort of the pipeline from technical to business to
communications and marketing. Yeah, all kinds of opportunities here. Yeah.
Any questions for Jenny?
Okay.